tonight we have Jenny Britton coming to speak to us. Jenny works here at Emmanuel Bible Church as the K-Station Programs Coordinator, a mouthful, but has worked in various areas of the children's ministry for almost 17 years. You would never know. She's like 95 years old. Look at her. Doesn't she look great?
I'd say I'm 22.
She's been married to her husband, Steve, for 26 years and has three kids, Casey, Carter, and Caleb. All of her kids played lacrosse. Did everyone play lacrosse? Big lacrosse family. Steve coached for many years. Jenny is a fantastic cook. We added some stuff to this. And in her spare time, enjoys doing chalkbook design, clearly, for weddings and homes. And in addition, Jenny and her husband recently took up boxing. So all I'm saying is if you see her in a dark alley, run the other way. Okay. Okay. Or she's got your back. Jenny's a first-time empty nester this fall, with her youngest having left in August to start college. So she's feeling a little nostalgic being with all of us. Talking about parenting also may cause her to spontaneously cry. But hey, you're with family here. We get it. It's kind of a different type of postpartum, she said. So anyway, without further ado, we're really excited, Jenny, for you to be with us tonight.
I was going to say, do I really need to do that?
Can you talk louder? That's all right. We're going to do it for
you. I was just going to do this.
That's good.
Is that all right with everybody? So that way you have me on.
Please
audio.
Do. That's not awkward at all.
Or I'll do what I always do at home, which is I'll just walk around like this.
You could do that too.
You know, pretend I'm on the phone.
It's all right. We can wrap that. Yeah.
I mean, will it be happy?
Let's just do it. Let's just be cooperative.
This is what happens when you get older. You get rebellious and ornery. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, I have a couple of things I need to set up before I start. Hold on. Hi. Oh, I can't see any of you anymore, but I can see my notes up here, and that's more important than seeing you all.
No offense.
Yeah. Gosh. Listening to the whole, you know, I've sent my oldest off to middle school. Where are you, Tyler? I can't see you anymore. Hi. Golly. I remember that. And, you know, here I am. I've sent my baby off to college. So that's just weird. All you mentor moms with kids that are gone. I know I'm in good company. It's very weird. Cindy and I were just talking the other day because both our kids are at Liberty. And we were just talking, and they're both both empty nesters at the same time. And we were just laughing about how different it is. That it's just, you can't even explain how it is until it happens. I mean, I thought I was going to be a wreck, honestly. I thought I was going to just, like, I don't know what to do with myself now. And it's just a weird state that we're in now. We're parents, and yet we're not parents, because, I mean, we're parents, you know what I'm saying, but they're not around anymore for us to kind of put into and get back from. So it's a totally different stage of life. And I was just telling Jen, I go, it's weird. It's just, it's not a horrible thing, it's just really weird. It's like I've run my dishwasher like only twice this week, which I know, and I told her, I said, I've only done laundry one time. I mean, truly, I can get it done in a day, like at an evening. And Jen's like, well, all of those sounds like really good things, you know, like my grocery bill is nothing like it used to be. So, I mean, it's really good, but it's a totally different feeling than where I was when my oldest was going off to middle school or my youngest was going off to elementary school. So anyway, I feel like I should be sitting in the chairs with you guys, but I'm clearly not supposed to be there. I'm up here. I'm that old lady now who is, who I used to, like, I saw somebody get out a notebook, and don't take notes, please. Don't take notes, because it's not that kind of meeting tonight. So when Tyler told me, you know, that she wanted me to come speak, actually Susan, I think, was the one that contacted me. Where are you? I truly can't see very much with my glasses on. Hi. Hi. Yeah, wave big. I was like, okay, yeah, I mean, I'm an empty nester. What do I have to do? You know, I think I said yes really quickly. And last year, was it Tyler, was it you that asked me about being mentor mom last year or something? And or it was, and I was just like, last year I was like, I don't, you know, it's my final year with my baby at home, and so I don't know what that's going to look like, and so I didn't do it. And so when Susan asked me, you know, about speaking, I was just like, well, I mean, you know, I got boxing on twice, you know, Tuesdays and Thursdays. Wednesday works, you know, it's good. So anyhow, Tyler was telling me, you know, what the focus was going to be this year, and I started thinking about the fact that, you know, a lot of you know me. I've known a lot of you for a lot of years, and I've known some of you for some years, and some of you I've only just met tonight, and you don't really know me from the person down the street. And so I thought, you know, I have this kind of persona here at the church as being somebody that's like totally funny and crazy all the time, and if we're really keeping it real, you know, myself outside of this building is very different from, you know, who I am up on stage, you know, with the kids. I've worked with kids for, I can't believe it's gone on 17 years. My youngest was just two when I took the job here as the nursery coordinator. And so it's, you know, I can't believe, you know, he's gonna be 19 and I'm still working here, which is a good thing. It's so comfortable, you know. Anyway, so, I thought, you know, why not just share who I am? And then when Tyler was talking about, you know, keeping it real, then I was like, yeah, this is what we're doing. We're gonna talk about who I am outside of these four, you know, walls of the church. So, you know, there is more to me than, you know, the crazy dress up person that I do for Union Stations. Thank goodness, my husband is like, thank goodness. She's not like that all the time. And, you know, I'm sure you all probably realize that there's more to me. I hope that you realize there's more to me than that person that's up on stage. But I do kind of guard who I am for real, and I think most of us do. And so, you know, there's masks and costumes that I wear when I'm on stage, but there's also masks that I wear on a regular basis. Just throughout the course of a normal day. And so, you know, when things are going really well, you know, I kind of have this mask on. And when things are really bad, I really hold this mask on, you know, because it's hard to kind of let people see, you know, who you really are. You know, I always say, if people really knew who I was, there's no way they would let their kids come to my house and play with my kids. I mean, it'd be like, my kids would have no friends, I would have no friends, you know, I'd totally be judged. You know, so I live behind a mask, and I think we all do live behind masks because it's a super safe place to be. So tonight I'm gonna share a little bit about myself, and I'm gonna hopefully not scare you guys with the visual that I'm choosing to use for tonight. I do hope that, you know, my sharing a little bit about myself will encourage you guys to be real with each other, and that you'll feel safe enough to kind of, you know, loosen the grip on the masks that you hold up to kind of protect yourself. So, you know, we want to look like we've got it all together. And tonight I'm actually feeling kind of good about, you know, what I'm wearing. I have this cool t-shirt that I just got from, there's a store I found online called Scarlet and Gold a while back. Actually, I think I found them on Instagram. And I just thought their shirts were really cool. They always have all these like Bible verses that are really artsy and just brief and, you know, not overdone. And, you know, they're well made and the shirts are super soft, like pajama shirt. This is nice. So this is, and I love this ampersand, and I'll, one of the reasons that they are putting this shirt out is because they really want women to come together and to, you know, be real with each other, believe it or not. They talk about the and connecting two things, and I just thought, that is so cool. I had already ordered the shirt, and I was like, I'm wearing it tonight. That's going to be perfect. You know, we just got to, you know, we come together, and we can be real with each other, and when we are real with each other, others can be real back with us, and there's that community that's created, and I think that's what Imams is, you know, really all about, is that community of women, like you said, and that we're all coming from different places, and we're all really different people, but we're bound by the fact that we have kids in these, you know, grades. So anyway, I thought the shirt was kind of cool, and this is my daughter's jacket, but you know, when you have an older daughter, you can do these things. She doesn't actually know I'm wearing it tonight, so she's working, but yeah, the beauty of an adult child at home. So I actually think I look okay. I got my favorite fall boots on. They're a little warm because it's kind of warm outside, but I was like, I'm going for it. I'm just going to wear it, and I've got my nails done and even lipstick on. So I'm feeling pretty good about myself, actually. So, but that is going to change. So we're going to do something a little weird tonight, and I'll throw my highlighter in there. And so as I kind of talk, I'm not going to strip, don't worry. Nobody wants to see that. I know you guys are going, she's taking her coat off. What does that mean? So let me just go get right to it. Okay, so 49 years ago, I was born. And actually, today is my birthday, so. So I'm spending my birthday with you guys. 49 years ago, I was born. I'm a Navy brat. I'm number 4 of 5 kids, and I'm the first daughter. So I have 3 older brothers, and God bless my mom. That's all I gotta say. We couldn't keep a babysitter to save our lives. And I felt really badly about that later on. I didn't know when I was little that I was like, oh yay, somebody knew. The babysitter was like, we're not going back to that house again. So yeah. So my dad was deployed a lot when I was little, and he actually didn't meet me until I was 9 months old. So because he was deployed at the time. So anyway, I just think that's kind of weird to think about. You'd never hear about people not seeing their babies be born, you know, or for 9 months, I guess, at least. But anyhow, I was actually a very anxious child. So I know it's really hard for you to believe that, but it's true. I mean, I was worried about everything, and it didn't matter if it was the sky, you know. And it's funny because my middle son, I realize, is exactly like me. And I didn't realize that I was that way until he was born. He came along. I'm like, you are me. I'm you. I mean, I remember this. So yeah, it didn't matter. I couldn't sleep at night. I had to sleep with lights on until I couldn't remember when. You know, I would swear there were bugs in my bed, and I would go and drag my dad out of bed constantly to come and check my bed because I was sure there were spiders in my bed. I had this too many phobias to that were, I should have been in therapy probably. you know, everything made me anxious, and you know, school made me anxious. I was not a great student, so I was anxious about school, and then I was anxious about friendships and boyfriends, and then getting married, and you know, having kids, and just all of that, you know, becoming a mom, and you know, I worried about everything. It was really bad. You know, buying a house, everything kind of made me worried. And it was funny because I'm sitting here tonight, and I actually got a little nervous when I walked in the door, just because I was. I'm sitting over in the chair, and my hands start kind of aching a little bit. And that was always my tell when I was younger, you know, in probably middle school and high school. And it's just the weirdest thing. I don't really tell people that because they're like, that's just weird. What is that? I mean, truly, my hand would just ache like right in here. And I felt it tonight. And I was like, oh my word. I could tell I'm a little anxious. Got to settle down, you know. So yeah, now you guys are thinking she's getting a little too weird. She's getting a little too real tonight. So, but I do wear this mask, and I call it, I was supposed to actually pull this off. I'm not even following my own prompting. So this is me anxious. I'm identifying myself on this chalkboard. So anyway, but you don't always know that about me because, well, calm is not usually a word that people use to describe me either. But I do like to think that I'm collected. I like that word. But Jen has told me over the years she thought I was kind of a chill parent, you know, which to me was a great compliment because I'm on the inside. I really do fight with it still. The thing is that now I've, over the years, I've, you know, learned to really trust God with my life. And, you know, one thing that I have very good friends that, you know, speak truth to me. And one said, you know, when you're worrying like you do, you're basically saying that you don't believe that God's going to take care of you. And I was like, no, it doesn't. That is not true. And but then I started thinking about it, and it's like, yes, it is true. I mean, because if I really believe that God's got me, that he's got my kids, you know, I'm not going to worry and fear, especially over just the smallest little things or even the biggest things. You know, God has me in the palm of his hand, and he's got my kids, and so why am I worrying? So, you know, that's one of the masks that I wear. It's calm or collected or composed or whatever. But that's really not who I am. Anyway, so next little thing about myself that you might not know, and Susan knows because she does, is I was diagnosed with a chronic illness when I was 14, and it's called ulcerative colitis, and I can't get this thing on my earring again. And it's very similar to Crohn's disease. If you've never heard of it, it's a gastrointestinal disease, autoimmune disease, and so you have issues like weight loss and anemia that you have to deal with, and as well as a myriad of other things. There's a lot of embarrassment that goes along with the disease. You know, you have super noisy tummy a lot. And you have to know where bathrooms are everywhere. And sometimes you don't make it to bathrooms all the time. And so there's a lot of embarrassment that goes along with that. And frequent doctor's visits and procedures that are no fun, and appointments and blood work and all kinds of stuff. And I lived with this disease for 22 years until I had surgery. Oh, my little thingy is not. Until I had surgery to remove my colon 13 years ago. It's hard to believe it's been 13 years. So, but when you live with a chronic illness, whether it's something like I have, or, you know, migraines, or you know, celiac or gluten intolerance or other diseases, depression, everything, when you deal with a chronic issue, all you want to do is be like everybody else. And you don't want to be defined by the fact that you feel like crud most of the time. And so I wore this mask of health a lot, and I would not talk about the fact that I needed these things, and I would desperately not put myself in situations where I was going to get caught needing a bathroom, or, and let me just tell you, no retreats. I didn't do retreats where I had to room with other women, because I wasn't going to do that. I was not going to let people know what I was dealing with and that it was so embarrassing. So I just didn't do it. So that's a really good bad coping mechanism, is to miss out on things that probably would have been really good for me to do. But those were the choices that I made. And what I came to realize is that everybody struggles with physical issues, and it is might not be, you know, on the scale of what I dealt with, but, you know, migraines, skin problems, hair problems, you know, even the things that we don't like really talking about, or we kind of whisper about, like, are you eating enough? Do you have body image issues that you don't dare tell somebody about? You know, these secret things that we kind of keep hidden from each other because we wouldn't want to be judged if people knew that we struggled with those things. And so I hid behind that mask, you know, for a long time. And, but then I've gotten older, and it's really hard to live behind the mask of health and youth when you're looking at the barrel, we're looking down the barrel of 50. You know, these, because I can't see you because these are just plain old readers, because I refuse to admit that progressives probably might be a really good thing for me to get. So instead I do this. Hi. What's this? Okay. Hi. Yeah. Where was I? Oh, hi. You know, or I don't see you. And so on Sunday mornings, if I'm wearing these glasses and you guys are walking down the hall, I'm not ignoring you on purpose. I just don't really know who you are until you get close. So sometimes I'm like, hey, and then they're like, who is that? You know, to whoever's walking with me. Or our teeth aren't as white or as strong as they used to be, and we're getting crowns and, you know, four-sided fillings. Who even knew that existed? It's called a crown. I'm just calling them fillings now. You know, our body parts are settling into places where they shouldn't be, and so we're going hardcore with the, you know, the under things. And okay, and I just found out the other day what a baby band was. I've never heard of that before. But I, you know, that's a young woman's version of Spanx. They want to call it a baby band because they're pregnant. That's fine, but baby bands hold your tummy in, you know, when you're pregnant. Did you guys know that? Okay, cool. So I don't feel so bad. Yeah. I mean, I actually think it's kind of cool. Like, if you can't button your buttons all the way and things like that, then you wear the baby band and it covers all that. I think that's pretty genius, actually, but that's what Spanx are for, in my opinion, you know? So we're just switching those out these days. Anyway, so, you know, my point is we all struggle with our body issues and we all struggle with health challenges to some degree or another. And the funny thing is, now that I'm older, it's like, that's what we talk about. Which I used to make fun of my parents because they used to talk like that. And then I'm like, I am my parents. You know? It's like, hey, man, I had to go to the doctor the other day. Oh, yeah, me too. You know, I had to go in for another, you know, exam. And I can't wait till those stop, you know? And then they're like, no, that's never going to stop. It's just going to be somewhere else. You know? So it's yeah. It's very interesting. So, anyhow, I hid behind that mask of health for a really long time. And then you kind of get to a point where it's like, it's not that you don't care. It's just, it gets really hard and tiring to do that. And, you know, and maybe that's the beauty of age is, you know, you get to the point where you're like, you know, it's all right, you know, because you're not going to stop it anyway. So why keep fighting it? So anyway, so that's my other mask. It's called health. Okay, so this is, you probably are figuring out what I'm doing, but okay. So in case you didn't know, I'm actually very insecure. I am. I'm a very insecure person. I know it's very hard to believe, but I have been in this building for, I've been coming to this church since I was in sixth grade, and so I know. How many people can say that? Yeah, that's right. I know your parents. I mean, from the nursery, from when I worked in the nursery. Yeah. So, from when I was a baby, that's right. They taught me Sunday school. So when you're in a place for a really long time, you get comfortable with your surroundings. And so I can be like this because I've been here as long as I have. But moving around as a Navy kid, I was not like that at all. And I think, you know, having to start over for some kids is actually not as hard as it is for others. And I was just one of those kids that, you know, I was very insecure and worried about what people thought about me and, you know, I just, you know, wasn't sure where I fit in. And so I would be very nervous about putting myself into new situations. And I can tell you guys don't believe me. So I'm going to tell you two stories. I mean, these I haven't happened recently, but when I was in my 20s and I was meeting the Britton family, I had started dating my husband, which, by the way, when my husband asked me on our first date, we met here at church, and I had a great time on our first date. He was very talkative, and he was eating, and he looked super comfortable with himself, and just, we had a really good time talking, and we went to a funny movie, and I didn't really have to say very much, which I thought was a wonderful thing. And so I got home that night from my first date with Steve, and I was like, I walked in the door, I was like, Mom, it was wonderful. It was so great. And I did not find out until later that he left, he dropped me off, and he went home, and he's like, we're not doing that again. And I was like, what? Are you kidding me? I thought it was a great first date, you know? I was like, it was so fun. I didn't have to do anything. You know, he's like, you did not say like two words. You made me do all the talking. And I'm like, well, what's wrong with that? I was totally cool with that. Yeah. So, you know, fortunately God had other plans for us, and we did eventually get married. So that was a good thing. But when I met the rest of the Britton family, my sister-in-law, Denise, who some of you may know, and my brother-in-law, Dave, they were already married at the time, and so we were going to double date, and I was super nervous again and not really sure what I was going to be doing. You know, how would they accept me? You know, kind of, how are they going to, you know, take me? And so, again, I was very quiet. And, you know, years later, Denise and I have a very good relationship. We're best friends, and we're totally no masks when it comes to us two. And, you know, we are brutally honest with each other, which is a wonderful thing. And she said, I don't know how this came up, but she said one time, she's like, I thought you were totally stuck up when I first saw you. I'm like, really? Well, guess what? I thought the exact same thing about you too, because I would watch you in church and you would look around like this all the time, like looking at everybody, and I'm like, ooh, she's intimidating. But she's not like that at all, you know, and clearly I wasn't either. But, you know, being insecure, you know, people get assumptions and about who you are. And so I hid behind this mask. I call it I should have said confidence, but you know, try to come across as being confident. And I figured if I didn't say much, then I wouldn't make a fool of myself, you know, until now, like I do it all the time. So clearly, anyhow. So those are three masks about myself that you may or may not have known before. But my fourth mask is kind of a doozy. And so I'm just going to say it. I am a sinner, and I have been saved by God's grace and love for me, and but I'm a sinner, and the thing is that I continually question God's grace. I don't believe it. You know, it's something that I struggle with all the time, because if I did, I wouldn't have to hide behind these masks that I like to hide behind. You know, I don't believe that God's taking care of me, so I worry. And, you know, I don't believe that, you know, this life is not what I really should be focusing on as far as my body's concerned, especially. You know, and so I want to be well, and I don't want to get old, and I don't want the wrinkles and all of these things that come along with getting older, because I stop believing that this is not where our hope lies, you know? I mean, I say I do, but do I really, you know? And, you know, knowing that God accepts me the way that I am, with all of my insecurities and shortcomings and stuff, and, you know, when I find my value in Him, then I can be confident in myself despite you know, all these crazy things that I do. So now I'm going to put my glasses on so I can keep seeing. So anyway, and you know, I do wear the mask of righteousness. That's what I'm calling this mask. Because, you know, especially in church, you know, you have to, I mean, we have this idea that we've got to look like we've got it all together when we come to church. And I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, and she said, you know, that, you know, church is where you learn about God, but church is also where a lot of hurting people come together and meet every Sunday. But we don't know that about each other, because, you know, we're afraid that we'll be judged if we're really honest with each other about who we are. And so we don't. So, and last but not least, not that there's much else coming off of my face, but I figure I might as well finish the job. The thing about getting older and realizing that, you know, a lot of people will say when you get older, you stop caring what people think, or you become more confident in who you are, and you know, your older years are more fun because you don't have all these hang-ups about yourself and stuff like that. But I think that you can be any age and feel that way when you remember, you know, who you're made by, you know, why you were made and who saved you. And so, you know, the only difference between maybe some of the things that you guys are worried about and holding on to and me is that God's given me, you know, a little more time to kind of get these things worked out in my life. And I'm a tough student, so I've had to learn a lot just on the job training, I like to call it. So, you know, I read a lot and I say I believe it, but it's not until, you know, you're in the trenches that you really, you know, discover who you are and what you believe. So anyway, you know, there is a certain level of freedom in identifying who you are. And that's why I said, you know, identify myself. That was kind of the topic I had picked today because, you know, I wanted to let you know a little bit more about who I am. But, you know, I think it's good because there's some freedom in saying the truth about yourself, telling the truth about yourself, especially in an environment like this where hopefully it's safe. And you know, I think that when you can be real with each other, you know, when you can be real with somebody else, they can be real with you. And that's where real community starts. So I am going to try to read this part of The Velveteen Rabbit because I do. Love that book. And I've always thought of it over the years, you know, just it would come to my mind every once in a while. But there's a part in the book where the Velveteen Rabbit is talking to the skin horse and about being real. And this is what it says. It says, "Real isn't how you're made," said the skin horse. "It's a thing that happens to you when a child loves you for a long, long time, not just to play with, but really loves you. Then you become real." "Does it hurt?" asked the rabbit. "Sometimes," said the skin horse, for he was always truthful, and I love this line, when you're real, you don't mind being hurt. "Does it happen all at once, like being wound up?" he asked, "or bit by bit?" "It doesn't happen all at once," said the skin horse. "You become. It takes a long time. That's why it doesn't happen often to people who break easily or have sharp edges or who have to be carefully kept. Generally, by the time you're real, most of your hair has been loved off and your eyes drop out and you get loose in the joints and very shabby." And then I was like, wait a minute, that sounds like me. I'm feeling my joints. My hair is coming out. I guess they are kind of dropping out. I don't know. It says, "But those things don't matter at all because once you're real, you can't be ugly except to people who don't understand." And I thought that was, I just love that part of the book. It's so cool and it's true. And, you know, when we're real with each other and we identify ourselves, you know, as who we are, we're made by God, we're loved by God, and we're saved by God, then we can accept others and love others around us who are as real, or in my case, sometimes unreal, as we all are. And anyway, so I think that that's really cool. And then one final quote for you guys is this. Because my kids are at Liberty and I stalk my children on a regular basis. Do you, Cindy? No, you probably don't. Yeah, I'll have to keep you in the loop. Anyway, I look on the Liberty website and I kind of follow with some of the things that are going on at school, at least so I can at least go, hey, I heard, you know, such and such happened. And then they'll actually respond to me instead of going, how's school going? Good. You know, come on, throw me a bone. So anyhow, I was on the website this morning and they were talking about Liberty has something called Convo, and it's three times a week. I thought it was like a chapel service, and it's sort of like a chapel service, but then they have all kinds of speakers come. And I think it was Monday, the lead singer from the band Korn was there. And I didn't ever really listen to this music because that's not my style, but maybe you've, I definitely had heard of this guy. His name's Brian Welsh. And a number of years ago, he came to Christ, and he was, you know, into all the, you know, horrible, terrible things that these really super heavy metal head-banging bands are into. And but his life has been dramatically changed, and he's a little scary looking because he looks just like he did before he found Christ, you know. So lots of tats and lots of piercings and lots of eye makeup and stuff like that. But he's so vocal now about his relationship with the Lord and just the journey that God has taken him on over the last 10 years. And so he spoke at Convo. So I'm sure that was interesting for the kids. And the boys didn't say anything to me about it, so I'll have to ask them. But he said this. One of the things that he was talking about was the fact that as he has learned to interact with his... there's somebody's calling on this phone. I'm like, who is that? What am I hearing? I'm hearing things now. I've got tinnitus in my ear. No, it's the phone behind my papers. Yeah, sorry. It's like, I was like, maybe I should get this. Anyway. Okay, you guys are seeing another side of me. It's called squirrel. It's not my fault, it's the phone. Anyhow, he said, Brian, let's get back to Brian. He said, let's get real. It's great to talk about these things that we go through because it's real life. And, you know, his life has been messy and, you know, it doesn't look the way that a lot of people think it should look. But God is continuing to refine him and grow him through his circumstances. And he said, people want real. So get out there and be real to this world. And I thought that was a great line. You know, we need to be real, not just where it's safe in this building, but we need to be real, you know, even with our neighbors and, you know, our kids, friends, parents that we don't know very well. You know, we need to be real with them too. So, you know, I don't know where you guys stand politically, but I thought this past summer, and I'm not like advocating any political party or any political candidate, but there was a vice presidential candidate who, when he spoke at the convention, he introduced himself as this, and he said, I wrote it down because I knew I was going to forget. He said, and I don't want to get it wrong. He said, I'm a Christian, because I couldn't remember exactly what he said. I'm a Christian, a conservative, and a Republican in that order. And I thought that was really cool because you definitely knew all you needed to know about him, at least politically, from those 11 words that he spoke. And so I, you know, would like to paraphrase that. I'm not running for office, thank goodness. And you know, this is just between us, but I am an anxiety-ridden, sick, insecure old woman who is getting older by the minute, and I've been saved by grace, and that's who I am. So I, you know, hope that if nothing else, you've been slightly amused and encouraged to be, you know, who you are, and not fear that, you know, you've been made by God, so you're awesome. So anyway, That's me. And I did bring some makeup to put back on because I'm sure I've scared the daylights out of everybody in this room. This is actually what I do at home anyway. So, you know, I just invited you into my house. But thanks for letting me come and share a little bit about myself with you guys. And yeah, get real, baby. Oh, and do you want me to? Okay, yeah. So because I took my makeup off, I want you guys to take your makeup off too. So you can do it right now. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, I want you to take this home. I know I probably scared all the new people. They're like, we're not coming back. We're not coming. That was nice, but we're not coming back. No, I thought it would be cool. I hope you think it's cool to get this little makeup towelette just to remind you to keep it real. And that, you know, you don't have to take your makeup off to be real, but it's a good visual. So anyway, thank you guys so much for having me.